B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm going to play one more Stevens cut for you, again from his stint here with Zolak and Bertrand in the midday. You can catch the full interview on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and the app. It's where you can listen to us every single day as well. Obviously, Felger and Mass here, presented by DraftKings. Remember after game two and that implosion in the locker room fight, Brian Scalabrine in the postgame show mentioned a couple different times about families being in the bubble, and he doesn't get the bubble, and who knows, maybe there was something related to the families being there that put them on edge, and I don't know. And I'm not telling you Scal had any inside information or said anything more than that. That's all he said. I take it the next step and go, oh, does he know something? And is there, I don't know, because sometimes having the families around is not a good thing. Sometimes having the families around can be a distraction in any way, shape, or form. And when Beadle and Zoe were interviewing Stevens this afternoon, and Beadle said that. He said, you know, during the Super Bowl, the NFL, the Patriots, make sure to tell every player, settle all the family stuff the Tuesday before you even go down there. And then that's it. Tickets, families, that hold, you just take care of the whole mishpucha before even you get to Tuesday, and then we don't think about it because it can be a pain. And so that was Beatles' question to Brad, you know, and it was his way of asking, was there anything with the families? Because Miami has not allowed their, or the story is that Jimmy Butler has not allowed his family, and a lot of players and personnel in Miami has followed suit. Business trip for Miami, where the Celtics have let their families in, and who knows, maybe there's all sorts of distractions about rooms, or who knows? Who the hell knows? And so Beadle asked him this question. I thought his answer was interesting.
I would say on the other side, you know, the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler seem to be sort of bragging a little bit about how we don't want our family here. We don't want the distraction. We don't want them here. Which way has it gone for you guys?
They have guests here and we have guests here. Yeah, I don't know if Jimmy does per se, but I know several of their players do. So it's not, that is no, you get ready for your game, you have practice, you have film, you do extra work, you work hard at your craft, and then there's absolutely nothing negative about having family. I think that is one of the best things about this, is when your families get to experience being part of a team and part of an organization. And so he may not have guests here, and he's a heck of a player, but he would be a heck of a player if he did have them here.
Huh. So pretty strong defense of having their families there and all of that.
Very wholesome, too.
I'm not, you know, I don't know. I prefer Miami's approach. I do. And maybe it's been overblown, as Steven sort of pointed out. They've got families here, too. He makes sure to let us know. I don't, from what I've read, they don't have as many. They haven't used all their credentials that they could. And that Jimmy Butler has categorically told his family to stay home. And he's the guy on that team.
I mean, they could mean coaches and a couple of staffers. So he's not telling a lie there. But, you know, he even says, I can't speak to Jimmy Butler's situation. Like,
I prefer Miami's approach. I just do.
Well, the other thing I wonder about is maybe the issue is not having family there. Maybe they have the same issues when they're in Boston because there are certain family members who don't get along or something. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Like somebody's wife doesn't like someone else's wife, or someone's wife or a parent thinks that someone else hogs the ball too much. There's all that kind of bull crap. Because let's face it, when your family starts getting in your ear sometimes, it screws up your perspective. It just changes the way you look at it and think at it. And you're like, why are they telling me this? You're going to make it harder for me. So just don't say anything.
I just think Miami's approach is important for them. And I think is, again, I respect it. I like it. I wish my team had it. It's a business trip. Business. We're here for business. Even if something as innocuous as Jimmy Butler selling $18 espressos, it's like, I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to make you coffee. If you want one of my coffees, I'm going to charge you $18.
It's actually $20, not $18.
He said his teammates are like, teammates, opponents. Yeah. It's like, no, man, seriously. Seriously, $20.
Yeah, cash only.
I think Haslam has said it. I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to grab ass. This isn't a family vacation. This is business. I'm going to take care of my family by bringing home a championship. And I like that approach. I think it served them. It reeks of Pat Riley. It reeks of Jimmy Butler.
$20 for a cup of coffee.
It's great.
So wouldn't you say to him, F you, I'm going to the lobby, man.
Right.
I can get it down the lobby. Or they put one in the room that isn't espresso, but you know what? F you, I'm not giving you $20.
$20 for an espresso.
Seriously, go to hell.
Anyway, back to your phones. Danny in Ohio. Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, so I have 1 point and two questions. I think Marcus Smart just needs to back off. It's the younger kids' team now. And, I mean, does it seem like they need some kind of Garnett type to go in there? I mean, the dude made Big Baby cry. Do we need somebody to get in there? And who do you think will make better adjustments over the layoff, Brad or Spoelstra? Because this is a chance for Brad to actually show a little something.
It's Spoelstra's turn, right? I mean, they lost and they gave some things up, so it's his turn to adjust to it. That's, you know, generally the way it goes. So that's who you're going to look for. Back to the, you know, they need a Garnett thing. You know, you hope they need a Garnett. And, oh, by the way, that's hard to find because it turns out those guys are kind of rare.
Especially in today's league.
Oh, like, my God.
Who's even left that's like that?
But even just a veteran guy who is a role player in one would help, right? It doesn't have to be a superstar. Just someone with some presence
like
is the point.
Green.
I mean, like someone like that, right.
I thought Horford would be the guy, but apparently he's not. But the question is it they haven't found that guy or the room won't listen to anyone? If Garnett went onto this current team, would Jaylen Brown listen to him? Because Jaylen Brown thinks he's got all the answers. I hate to break it to you. The man thinks he's got it figured out. And Jason Tatum thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread on the floor.
Correct.
Would those kids listen to Kevin Garnett?
I don't know.
See, Paul Pierce was willing to listen to Garnett by that point. Been in the league a long time, made his money.
And hadn't won.
And all, by the way, was always a vice president. As I said last week, he was the vice president to the fat guy that gambled too much. But that was and again, I forgot his name.
Antoine Walker.
That was Antoine Walker's team, right? Don't you think that Antoine
Walker's? Yes, no question it was. So absolutely.
That was a perfect sort of fit there that, you know, and Rondo was too young to really ruin anything. And so, like, it was just sort of the perfect thing there. I don't know if Garnett came onto this team that Brown and Tatum would listen to him.
No, it's a fair point. And Brown in particular, again, he's, you know, pig-headed. I mean, a very strong-willed guy, and I say that as both a criticism and a compliment. Like, it only gets you so far if you're strong-willed when you're unwilling to acknowledge the obvious. Like, that can sometimes be a negative, too. So Brown is, you know, the previous caller said it was about Brown's, you know, defense and not passing and stuff. I think it's got as much to do with his attitude as anything else.
A little bit. Ricky in the car. Go ahead, Ricky. I'm Marcus Smart. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so what if Gasper says that Smart is a sore loser? I mean, I think somebody once said, show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser. And I think that was Michael Jordan, you know? I mean, and if the Celtics come back and win the series, what are we going to say? Well, that was the turning point of the series.
I'm not.
You know?
I don't think it is. I mean, has Denver needed to throw chairs at each other to come back from 3-1 twice?
No.
And win last night?
No.
So no, they showed real balls, too. Did you see how they lost game two? It was like a half second
left. Yes, of course.
Davis nails that three. It's like, oh, they're done. I figured they were going to get swept.
And they almost gave it away last night. They gave away a big lead, and they hung in there. So I don't know. They haven't needed. I mean, they've had a little bit.
Early on, Michael Porter?
Yes. Yeah, Michael Porter, yeah.
Chirped a little bit, but it wasn't like they were chucking chairs at each other in the middle of the locker room. So they haven't needed that. You shouldn't have needed it. And I'm sorry. I don't credit that. I think your backs were against the wall 2-0, the scoreboard. You know you had to play differently, and so you did. And I don't think that locker room thing had much to do with it, other than your immaturity or the issues on the team between those players. That's what I think that was about.
Because that stuff typically comes up when things are going wrong. And I'm talking about the blow-up in the locker room. That's what the issue is. What happens if they get behind by 10 and they're playing like crap? What happens on the floor then? Guys going to start rolling their eyes again?
Exactly.
Yeah, then we'll see.
Dean in Shrewsbury, your thoughts. Go ahead, please.
I love Marcus Smart, Maz, but you got to be crazy thinking the offense should be him going through the post against Dragic.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
No.
You said bring... Yeah, that's exactly what you said like 1 hour ago. You
didn't say that. Yeah, you did. I can prove you said it. You said it, Uncle Ben. You said it. What did you say, Miss?
I said that they went to the basket, and the strength of Smart's game in particular is going to the basket. It's not shooting threes. If he can back a guy like Dragic in there, he can overpower him, and if he gets fouled, he makes his free throws.
Did you say the offense goes through Marcus Smart?
No. Never.
You said Marcus Smart should go to the basket.
Correct.
Thank you. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. So Marcus Smart shoots between 0 and 3 feet. He shoots a putrid 54% on the year and 55% for his career.
to give you some reference.
This guy's annoying me too much. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. He's taking too long to get to it. So he says Marcus Smart should never shoot?
I guess 54-55%.
It's not horrible.
No, it's not horrible.
That's actually pretty good.
I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, again, overall, they shoot in the low to mid-40s. So that means that his chances near the hoop are better than his chances away from the hoop,
correct? Let me tell you why Marcus Smart, I can say to you in one word why Marcus Smart should go to the basket. Yeah, you did it. That was the first play of the game. Did you notice it? Don't tell me you didn't notice it.
Yes.
You know, first play of the game. First time he hit the lane. He got into the lane. No one touched him. And they gave him one. And he got an on one. I think it was the first possession of the game, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it was. I said, oh, here we go. And that's why he should go, because he's going to, you know.
He should trademark that.
He's going to contort his back, hit the floor, hit the deck, draw a foul, and that's why he should go to the basket.
Should be a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, and the stupid refs fall for it every time. He's just making a noise, guys. No one touched him. Anthony and Beford. I'm going to assume that's Bedford. Go ahead, Anthony.
Dean.
How we doing, guys?
We're good.
Listen, I don't know what we're worried about here. The fact of the matter is this. I know they are sloppy because they're young and losing leads the way they are. That's because they're young and they're still trying to figure it out. But if you watch that game, Gordon Hayward was the difference. Now you have that extra rotational piece. And quite honestly, if they come out tonight and do what I think they're going to do, this is over in six. Plain and simple, these guys are not better than us. They never were better than us, and they're not now. The fact of the matter is, if Brad comes out and makes the adjustments like I think he did, Hayward with 4 days off of rest, and we're ready to go tonight, and it's going to be a green storm, and we smoke them.
Oh, it's a green storm, Maz. Why are you laughing at Anthony and Beford?
Well, first of all, because he said it was over in six, I started chuckling, and then I realized I know him. He cuts my hair.
That's your barber?
And my kids, yeah.
You have a barber?
Well, sort of. Yeah, I mean.
So you've already heard that take before.
Oh, yeah, no. He texted it to me this morning. Yeah, he sent me pictures of like a green hurricane. Oh,
he doesn't charge you more than $4, Maz. Your thing can't take more than 30 seconds.
Oh, no, it's a buzz. $20.
Okay.
Yeah, $20. I'm in and out of this.
I agree with him, though, that the Celtics have more talent. They are. They're the more talented team, except they played like ass because they all kind of hate each other.
Murray's trying to bait me. He's trying to bait me.
No, that's what I believed anyway.
Absolutely.
Going into this series.
100%.
Look, the big thing is getting into the paint. Get into the paint, take the twos. Why do you got to keep hucking up threes? Why do you got to keep doing that? If they're going to be soft in the middle of that zone and you can go in there and get twos, go in and get them.
Again, this stat means something, or it should. They've played 149 minutes in this, okay? Three full games in an overtime, 149 minutes. The Celtics have led in 111 of them. That's almost 75% of the time. They've controlled this whole thing. They have. They just couldn't get out of their own way when it mattered in a couple of those games. So that tells you it's not a talent thing. It tells you it's another thing. Toughness, composure, coaching, whatever. One of those intangibles. It's not talent.
No, so that part, I agree with you that it's other things. I think Miami's more talented than you think, and I think Kemba Walker's not. So I don't think the gap is what you think it is, but
I'm just going to stop you on that first thing because it annoys me when you say that.
Why?
I think Miami is every bit as good as you do. I told you about Miami. I've been chirping about Miami for months.
Okay, but again, we disagree on Kemba Walker.
We agree on the Celtics. But I believe the Celtics are better. I mean, the Heat are better than you do. I was on the Heat first.
Well, good for you.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. It's why you keep saying you don't think the Heat are that good. I've been on that for months.
Okay, well,
how many times do I have to say it?
Sound like the guy that was into a band before they got big.
Oh, my God, it was just so annoying.
Yeah, you don't know. I had it first. I bought the T-shirt.
I think the Celtics are more talented than you do. That we disagree on. We don't disagree on the Heat.
Specifically Walker.
Fine.
So, I fell in love with the Heat when I was real high in February in Miami.
Thank you. How many times do I have to say it?
Yeah, I had it first. I had the T-shirt.
I did have it first.
And the bumper sticker.
I had it first.
You're just riding on my coattails.
You sound like that obnoxious caller who's like, do you remember what I said last week when I called in?
It's so annoying. I've been saying it for
months. I'm listening to it now.
Watch out for the Heat. Watch out for the Heat. Watch out for the Heat. They're a tough little team. Watch out for that team. They're better than you all think. The Heat are going to beat the Bucks. I've been saying it for effing weeks, months. And he's like, well, you don't think the Heat are that good. It's like, how many times do I have to say this?
What are you, like Brady now? You're going to trademark stuff? Huh? I had the Heat.
More of your thoughts after these words. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You can listen to Felger and Mazz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We'll see. I mean, it helped us at the end of the second quarter. I'm not sure how much it helped us at the end of the fourth. It has not been a good lineup statistically. But, you know, it's such a small sample size, I'm not sure that really matters. But I think that, you know, we'll try to pick the right times to use it. The challenge of that lineup, right, is just you don't have the vertical threat at the rim that, you know, Tice or Rob or the rebounding that Canner gives you if those guys are all at the five. What you have is more speed to spread it out and more ability to drive it, but you got to have great spacing. And that's usually a function of really working together and playing in that group. And so we did a little bit of that in the seeding games, but not a ton. We did not get to do it in practice leading up to the seeding games because Kimba didn't practice. And we didn't get to do it much this year. So, you know, I think we have to, when that group is in, run a specific set of actions to just open the floor up and let those guys be the best version of themselves and space a little differently than when we have our bigs in. And that's the challenge. But on the other end of the floor, the challenge is how in the heck do we get out of bio, out of, you know, off the rim and off the glass. And, you know, he's a terrific player. One of the best centers in the league for sure. And he's given us fits this entire series. And so whether you're big or small, you know, he's something we have to he's a major focus that we have to do better on.
So that's Stephen's talking about that small lineup, that best five lineup with Hayward in there. And then, I wasn't listening just now. I heard it earlier in the day. Does he mention something along the lines of the metrics show that it's actually not a successful lineup?
Yeah, he did say during the regular season wasn't one of our better ones, but the sample was small.
So, but, you know, I guess the numbers show, the efficiency numbers or whatever, per 100 possessions or whatever the nerds, you know, look at, that it's not actually a very efficient lineup when you look at plus minus or, again, whatever the hell it is that they look at. What do you think of it?
I think in this series they're going to need it. I think in this series they need it. And when I say that, I mean, if this series evolves into a three-point contest, Miami wins. Miami's better shooting out there than you are. They got better shooters. And, you know, they're big. They have a big guy that'll get rebounds. But honestly, I think the key to the series is Adebayo. I'd come to that conclusion after three games. I think that Adebayo has hurt the Celtics a lot, particularly on the defensive end, because they just stand out by the three-point line and shoot threes. And this is why Spoelstra has the longer guys out at the front of the zone, because it makes the threes tougher. It turns into a three-point contest, and Miami wins. So you know what? You got to counter Adebayo on that end of the floor when you have the ball, when they're on D. Adebayo at 27-16 last game, his best game of the series. Miami lost. So I would let Adebayo get his points. I would let him do that. You want to get 30, get 30. I'm going to try to shut down Crowder, who was 2-for-10. I'm going to take out Dragic, who was killing us in the first two. I'm going to take out your shooters and your guards. And you want to get Adebayo 31 points and 18 rebounds? Have a blast. You'll lose. That's what I would do if I were the Celtics. I think that's where they are.
Well, let's see how much they go to that tonight. Back to your calls. Bert in Berlin. Hi, Bert.
Yeah, hi, guys. I'll give you two overblowns and one underblown. The throwing the chairs and family in the arena, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's, you know, it's a factor, but minimal. Underblown, Gordon Hayward, and I never thought I'd be saying this because I'm not a huge fan, but against the Miami Heat, he's a key player because he breaks the zone. I mean, you can't play zone against Gordon Hayward. And, you know, so that takes away that magical zone that was killing him in the first two games.
Okay, I mean,
and he's
Bert, I mean, I agree on paper. It was
6 points and five assists or something.
Offensively,
like that.
He didn't make that big of a difference. He just didn't.
I mean,
it was about Jaylen Brown.
And I can see what you're talking about. He's got a good little slashing game. He does the right thing with the ball. But what did that really net you in that game?
Like, not a tie. I think he was a plus one in the game or something.
Yeah, so he's properly blown.
He's properly blown. To me, we were talking overblown, underblown before. And that locker room fracas, was that overblown or underblown? The Hayward thing, I mean, if he does it for 18 points and 10 assists, now you can say he made a real difference against that. Right now, I think it's a little more of an on-paper thing. Mark in Florida. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, how's it going? You guys were talking about Bam Adebayo, and I was just thinking that, we kind of already have the answer to that in the German Freak. I feel like he's been shutting them down pretty well. He just hasn't been getting any calls this series. I just want to know what your thoughts are on that.
Oh, so now, shut them down.
Now
what?
He's the German Freak who shut down Adebayo?
Are you on crack? What series are you watching? Holy crap, what series are you watching? Wow, in the three games, Adebayo, 18, 21, 27. He got five blocks. He's got 32 rebounds. He's got 14 assists. What are you talking about?
And forgive me, but I see Grant Williams on the floor in the big spots as much as I see Daniel Tice.
Oh, God, Tice has sucked in this series. And again, I don't blame him for it. I think he's just overmatched. This is, and now Not since
constantly the, in foul trouble.
Since the door opened, this is the series that in theory Robert Williams should be able to help in.
It's another thing I mentioned last week. It's like, I don't want to hear from the Time Lord people anymore. That's it. Enough.
I mean, now you've got an athletic big on the other side who's exactly the same size as Williams, basically.
And they're playing a smaller rookie over him.
And he can't get on the floor.
Because they're playing Grant Williams over him.
Exactly. So, like,
and I say he's smaller. Is he? They're like the same size.
Yeah, they're 6'9", 6'8". And actually, Robert Williams has longer arms, right?
Yes.
So, to me, I don't think the Celtics have an answer for Adebayo, which is why I say don't try. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like if he's going to get his, let him get his. Because you know what? He's going to get twos. Let him get his twos. Take away their threes. You'll come out ahead.
Mike yeah.
I was going to say, you're sleeping on Tice. Sometimes the Celtics fans are the most delusional fan base in all of America. No fan base pumps up, scrubs off
they
the
love
bench
them.
Like Celtics fans.
They love them. They love their Bridgie bad players.
You would have thought they would have all learned after the Bridgies and guys like Crowder and Linick, who you're seeing on the other side. But nope. Tice, fine little player.
That guy had to be baiting me.
Mike in Salem. Go ahead.
Had to be.
Mike, what do you got?
Honestly, I don't know what that last caller was smoking. Daniel Tice sucks and blows, Felga. I'm going to talk about the layoff that the Celtics have had, but I just have to get this off my chest really quick. That guy thinks he should be getting fouled like LeBron James.
Oh, it's so aggravating.
He realizes that his name is Daniel freaking Tice.
Oh, my God.
He's not a star player whatsoever. He sucks.
Put your hands down and close your mouth. You suck. You're just a fringy, borderline NBA player. So put your hands down and shut your mouth. God, he does. He does. He thinks he's like Shaq out there, should be getting every call, every trip down the floor on both ends.
And the caller, two calls ago, talks about him like he's Dirk Nowitzki.
But every single time,
loud.
Mike, you know it. Every single time down the floor, the hands are up. It's like, what? Shut up. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. That guy is an absolute joke, both the caller and Tice. But overall, I look at the Celtics layoff, and you could say that the Celtics maybe lost momentum after the last game, but overall, how much momentum do they actually have? All three games have been the exact same. The only difference in this past game was that the Celtics didn't blow a massive lead. And a quick question before I let you guys go. Do you guys think the old G. Wilkers is kind of losing his edge a little bit? G. Wilkers is kind of getting phased out towards the Belichick kind of motto. Stevens has been a little more edgy recently. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. All right, I'll let you guys
Yes, I have.
I'm not going to take any more crap.
I mean, he called after game two. He said in the middle of the game, in that third quarter, fourth quarter interview, we stopped playing. And after the game, he sort of called him out for stop playing. But I thought his answers today, like I liked his interview with Beadle and Zoe, but I think he was, really whitewashing some stuff. So I don't know. I mean, I think he's powerless. As most NBA coaches are. I think he's powerless against the egos and the immaturity of the guys in his locker room. There's nothing he can do about it.
I mean, I think that's why he got frustrated in game two, because he's like, these guys don't get it. How many times do I have to tell them? They don't get it. They're just not getting it. And so finally, you know, and again, maybe from his perspective, the blow up helped because it allowed him to enter the picture again and maybe get a message through that he wasn't getting through. So they, you know, they penetrated the zone a little bit more. Mike, I know you said this earlier. To me, this is the whole series now. You got to get in there. You penetrate the zone. You got to get in the paint. Attack.
And not even, you don't have to score down there. You can kick it back out, but it starts by you getting in the lane.
Yes, because, again, if they get in there and Miami does collapse, now your threes are open, right? So, but I think it absolutely, it's that simple. You've got to attack. You've got to get in there.
Okay, we're going to be Celtics all day long. We do want to mix in some Patriots because we do have Paul Perillo coming up as well. So we'll start that next segment. We're going to hit on N'Keal Harry and having trust from his quarterback. Isn't that interesting, Mass?
No, it's a novel concept.
Actually having a quarterback that trusts him and believes in him.
Yeah, it's funny. He said he has trust in his quarterback, which told me what he was really saying. He didn't have trust from the old guy.
Something like that. We'll hit on it right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, it's good to have trust from our quarterback. At the end of the day, as receivers, we just want to make him as comfortable as possible. And when he drops back, he has faith in every single one of us that he could. Trust us to come down with the ball. So it's really encouraging.
Hey, you hear that, Mess?
Interesting.
It's N'Keal Harry. First round pick. Erstwhile bust? Maybe not. Has his best day as a pro. Team high 12 targets, 8 catches. Quarterback goes to him with the game on the line. Last pass play of the entire game, got to have it. He goes to N'Keal Harry. And after N'Keal Harry yesterday says, it's good to have trust from your quarterback.
Oh, listen. I mean, as soon as I saw that, I went, oh, well, isn't that interesting? Tweeted that out right away when I saw it.
Oh, did you?
Hell yeah. What, are you kidding me? Absolutely, because again, it's not, sometimes it's not what someone says, it's what they don't say, which is, unlike the old guy who wouldn't throw it to me and intimidated me and badgered me and belittled me and berated me.
Yeah, trying to make you better, bum.
Yeah, oh, and it worked, clearly. I mean, it clearly worked. So see, this is the part that I do hold Brady accountable for in all seriousness. Is that because of the gap, Brady stood up on this pedestal when these guys came into the picture. They looked at him and went, holy crap, I'm catching the ball from Tom Brady. There was that comment from, was it Gunnar Olszewski or Myers?
I thought it was Myers.
It was Jacoby Myers.
Who said, yeah, you want to make sure you catch it because he might not throw it to you again. That's how they felt. And I don't think Brady did anything to dispel that. Like, Brady could have gone to them and said, hey, fellas, I'm just a quarterback.
He invited him over to the backyard in Brookline. He gave him a shot.
Once. Oh, yeah. No, that's yeah.
He realized he sucked and said, I'm good.
Yeah. Five-minute photo op.
And a year later, oh, you're still thinking about me? Well, guess what, N'Keal? I don't even think about you. Never did.
So I just think that Newton did the opposite. Newton made himself accessible and available to these kids, and he made himself a peer, not their boss. And so all of a sudden, we're in this together. We'll figure it out. Just keep at it. You're doing fine.
Newton's gotten more out of N'Keal Harry in 2 weeks than Brady did in 16.
He's already got more catches than he did all last year.
I mean, let me give you some contrast. Newton last Friday. So again, this is coming off of N'Keal Harry having a rough game in week one, the fumble through the end zone, you know, getting tackled by Bob Sosi on a screen pass, right? Like just, you know, everyone's dumping on the guy. And here comes Cam Newton. Just play me the Cam Newton cut again from last Friday, Jimmy.
You know, I spoke with N'Keal, and
let's just put a lot of things into perspective here. Right? Did he have a good game? Yes, he did. I think that one play overshadowed the production that he did have. He bailed me out on a play on a kind of inaccurate pass that he came down with and got the first down. He did pretty good in the run game. You know, he had a couple contested catches. And you know, all that was kind of for naught because a lot of people just focused on the fumble. And granted, I'd be the first person to tell you he knows, or he will be the first person to tell you that he knows that's unacceptable. But obviously, when you just put things into perspective and you call a apple an apple and a spade, it was just one mistake.
He's got his back. Support. Well, compare that. Let me just play one more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's Tom Brady last year when N'Keal Harry's coming back off the IR after his injury. I can't remember when it was or how it all played out, but there was
the one he milked.
He was out for an extended period of time, and here he is coming back, an important guy for the team that the team needs. The team's got to have it because they have limited receivers and they need N'Keal Harry, an important guy coming back from injury. Here's how Tom talked about him.
Yeah, he's missed a lot of football, missed a lot of training camp, missed 8 regular season games. So, he's just got to try to work at it every day. And it's going to be up to him to, put the effort in and to, everyone's there to help him. But, you got to go out there and you got to do it and earn the trust of your teammates and coaches and stuff. So, it's good to have him out there.
Oh, yeah, I just feel the support.
Oh, it sounds like it. Yeah, no, he's really happy.
He's keeping it real.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, so, Tom, don't you think he can have, he's missed a lot of time.
I mean, Newton is, trusts the guy. He had a good game. He got my back. He understands what he did. And that answer from last Friday goes on and on. We just cut it there. Meanwhile, this guy's coming back for Brady. Well, he's missed a lot of time. It's up to him to earn our trust. Meanwhile, it's week two, and he's already got Newton's trust, and he's saying, yes, I just have the trust of your quarterback.
See, here's the part that people here don't want to admit and don't want to accept is that fact. Cam Newton is a better teammate now than Tom Brady was at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll give you that, sure.
Fact. End of story. Fact.
And that's the answer. And this is what I'm frustrated by, just from my take bunker, is that I felt this was a hugely important thing that was holding the team back. Brady's attitude, the missing the off seasons, the lack of trust in the people around him, his thing with Belichick, it was holding them back. And I felt that any quarterback that Bill chose coming in here would turn those things on its ear and you could be better off because of it. Which is why I wanted Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham, because then it really drives that home. Cam Newton is so talented and is such a brand unto himself that people are willing to say, well, it's Cam Newton doing this. But it's as much blowing Brady and his attitude out of here as it is Cam Newton and his talents. And I think that you would have seen something similar with Stidham and Hoyer. It wouldn't have looked as good as it looked Sunday night, but what you would have seen is, I believe, N'Keal Harry coming along, the offense looking more functional, and the whole thing being more like the Patriots that we remember.
No question.
And I felt that would have been that way with any quarterback, and it would have driven home with a hammer if it were Hoyer or Stidham. Now it's Cam Newton, but the point still stands. The team needed a change of attitude from the quarterback position.
Oh, listen, he was at the end. Again, I don't know any other way to say it. Cam Newton is a better teammate now than Tom Brady was at the end. Fact.
Let me give you another one.
And just quick, can I just add to what you were saying? Just that it doesn't hurt that it's Newton. I generally agree that it was about Brady's bad attitude. But this is Cam Newton. So a guy like N'Keal Harry.
It means more to him than it would be.
If it were Stidham.
I acknowledge it, which I know.
This guy's a star player in the league.
Yes, and guys gravitate towards him, and they, in some cases, idolize him. N'Keal Harry probably played Cam Newton in the video game.
Absolutely.
So that blunts my argument, which aggravates me on that level. I acknowledge it. But I'm not backing down from it because I think that's what this is about. I do. Yesterday, across the street, Cam Newton, asked about does he need new receivers and his weapons. He says the answers are in that locker room, simple and plain. The answers are in that locker room. What a nice line.
New guy at the office, just saying everything nice about everyone around.
They needed a new guy at the office.
Let me give you another one. Last year, Tom Brady, Ben Watson retires or is cut. I can't even remember how they lost Ben Watson, but Ben Watson.
Washed up Ben Watson.
The corpse of Ben Watson, but he's an old guy, a veteran with a big name that Brady liked. So he's gone, and now Brady's asked about, well, now you're going to go to battle with Izzo and Lacoste, and you have confidence in those guys too, right? Here's what Brady said.
Am I more comfortable?
Are you more comfortable with those? Because you lost Watson. Are you more comfortable now with those two guys in being able to fill that role?
I mean, it's just, I'm the quarterback, so, you know, I don't make those decisions, and I'm who's ever out there, that's who I got to play with, so, yeah.
Who's ever out there, those are the guys I have to play with.
I'm the quarterback, so, you know, I don't make those decisions, and who's ever out there, that's who I got to play with, so.
He caught himself.
He couldn't even bring himself to say, I'm comfortable with those guys.
Right, he caught himself. I don't remember. I picked that up on that the last time. He was about to say, I'm comfortable with those guys, too, and he stopped.
Meanwhile, Cam Newton looks at the same scrubs, and says, the answers are over here. Those guys are the answer.
He doesn't believe that.
And Brady says,
it's just, I'm the quarterback, so.
He's keeping it real.
You know, I don't make those decisions, and who's ever out there, that's who I got to play with. So.
I mean, you're more apt to actually tell people how you feel when you have one foot out the door. You suck. F you. You're not any good. Nope, I'm not throwing to you. You blow. Like, that's what he was doing last year. I respect him.
But what's better for the team, Murray?
Oh, I mean, Cam Newton in this attitude. But again, talk to me in a couple of weeks after N'Keal Harry has a bad fumble and cost Cam Newton and the Patriots a game, which is ultimately going to cost Cam Newton money because he's got a new lease on his NFL life here. He's getting a new chance. So everything's all puppy dogs and rainbows right now. Oh, you're so good. Oh, he's the best. The answers are in that room. Let's see when he and this team have some adversity and N'Keal Harry is costing them games or a game, and then we'll see what Cam Newton has to say.
Thomas Richard Brady. You can just call him Dick if you like, because that's what he was at the end. Seriously, he was a complete a-hole at the end of those young guys. He was. He totally tuned them out. He wouldn't give them the time of day, and he made it worse. He made it worse. Thomas Richard Brady.
That's all you need, but those two lines say it all. Brady looks at those guys and go, I just play with who they tell me to play with. I just work here. And Cam Newton says those guys are the answer. And that's it. That's it in a nutshell.
I'm telling you, Newton, I think, is having a positive impact on some of these guys. He is.
And N'Keal Harry. So what does that mean? Can he turn N'Keal Harry into a real player, or is he never going to be a real player, you two?
Define real player.
A star.
No. No.
No, not a star.
At best, he could be an okay role player.
Pro bowler.
No.
I say that because it doesn't take much.
Yeah,
money.
Okay.
A pro bowler is... Let me give you who the Pro Bowl receivers are last year. Go ahead, talk.
So if you were to say to me, can he turn him into some of the guys Carolina had? Brandon LaFell when he was with the Patriots. Can he turn him into Devin Funchess at his best?
Yeah, so a serviceable role player?
Those are role players.
Yeah, a second receiver.
Yeah, neat. Okay, he could probably do that.
And a guy who can catch the ball in the red zone because he has size and get some touchdowns.
He's a first-round draft pick. At that position, he should be an all-pro. Like, that's what he should be almost coming out of it. You just got to have him make sure he can run good routes and have a good rapport with the quarterback. And go, okay, now he's going to have a good rapport with the quarterback. Maybe that can actually happen. But I just don't see it. I haven't seen it at all in a season and a half or season of a few weeks here.
So, again, when I say pro bowler, I'm including reserves and injury replacements. I'm not talking about, first team.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, move those goalposts a little further.
Listen, no. That's what I meant, Murray. I didn't mean that he was going to be all-pro that guy. I meant... And I asked. I'm asking you. I'm facilitating. I didn't say what he was going to be. The starters were DeAndre Hopkins and Keenan Allen, okay?
No, he's not those guys.
Can he be Cortland Sutton and DJ Clark? Or Chark?
Shark, DJ Shark.
DJ.
DJ Shark, yeah. He's actually pretty good for Jacksonville.
DJ Shark. DJ Shark and Cortland Sutton.
Yeah.
Could he be those guys? Because those were alternates last year.
I don't think so, no.
Maybe.
I don't think he can be guys that were drafted after him that are already better. Brown, Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin.
With Brady, he had no shot. With this guy, he has a shot. Let's pick it up on the other side in our long commercial-free segment.
Dugger Fest. Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You listen to
Sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down, you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I can't imagine the pressure you must have felt last year as a rookie. No matter how talented you are, having to get thrown into this system with that quarterback who had so much success. And now a year later, with you growing and maturing, how helpful has it been to have a guy who really seems to be in sync with you and wants to see you succeed?
I think when it comes to wanting me to succeed, and in that regards, I think Tom wanted me to succeed just as much. But like I said, it's just hard trying to compare. And, you know, I just feel like as a rookie, it was just a lot harder for me to try to grasp the offense, missing half of the season, and then just getting thrown in there like that. So, like I said, it really is hard to compare, but it is helpful having Cam guiding me along everything that's going on.
Murray's getting more annoyed by the minute.
Why wasn't it tough for all the other wide receivers who were drafted last year? Like the guy on the other side on Sunday night who got drafted after you and who's clearly better than you in DK Metcalf. And by the way, you played in the preseason, N'Keal Harry, and you got hurt. And then you milked the injury for 8 weeks. And it wasn't just Brady getting frustrated. The coaches were, too. Let's quickly just forget that. But oh, he's helped him come. Cam's helped me come along. And, man, just being thrown into that offense. You were there in the preseason. What is this? Come on.
So look, he said something there in his comment about how, you know, Tom wanted me to succeed, too, which I agree with. I think that's true. I just think Brady had lost the ability to connect and understand what was required of a player at that stage of his career.
You wanted him to succeed. You just wanted to invest in him.
The guy with the 6 rings wanted to hold me accountable. He was so mean to me. Boy.
What bugs me is the media coverage now. It's like, now you're all on board. Now you all get it. When Brady's on another team and you're not now you're kissing the ass of the Patriots and the new quarterback. Yeah, now it's so now it's like, oh, Tom was this big meanie. How does it feel now to have someone who supports you? It's easy to say now that Brady's gone and Newton looks good. Where were you last year when it was obvious Brady was bailing on the team and you wouldn't call him out for it? That's what I find fraudulent. Yeah, it's like, God, you're a bunch of front-running ninnies.
There's something about this that's starting to irk me, too, in only just 2 weeks. Cam is obviously very good with the media. And Brady, I think, had become disinterested in participating in that and over the last year or so. And I think that's helped play a role in this big pro-Cam narrative and anti-Brady. Oh, an old man down in Tampa, how dare he treat the players like that, him and his 6 rings and all the accolades and championships. Oh, tisk, well, tisk.
Maybe part of it is. I
don't think it's because Cam's good with the media. No, I don't think that's it at all.
It's a way to kiss ass with the team. And it's like, and it's a way to, you know, pander to fans is what it is. It's pandering to the fans. You're calling out Brady now for not supporting his receivers. It was obvious last year. And how come, like, only a few of us would say it? So it's like, it's frustrating on that regard. Oh, now you get it. Well, now you feel safe saying it because you're not pandering to fans. You can call Brady out now because he's gone. And you can curry favor with the team and the fans. But you weren't able to say that last year when it was right in front of your face.
Or pander to Brady.
God.
See Murray, what I would say in all seriousness, I think Brady was probably working the media behind the scenes. We just didn't see it. So Brady had his guys, and because what did you hear coming out of it? They don't have the weapons. The weapons suck. Harry's not picking it up.
Or the people's eyes worked, and they realized they don't have the weapons. These guys suck.
Yeah, Brady destroyed any chance of it working, though.
Why do they suck less now, Murray? Why do they suck less through 2 weeks?
Do they? He's just getting no one. He's throwing to them. That's all. These guys should make a catch. They are professionals.
Okay, but Brady wouldn't even throw to him.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
All right, let's get Paul Perillo's thought on this. We'll get a high-ranking member of the Patriots organization to weigh in on this, as we do every Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
I hope he looks better than Belichick did today.
Paul Perillo joins us after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.